Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Riders Podcast, the comic book club. We read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do. All the time, every day, sometimes.
I try to do every day. Sometimes the Kindle app will be like, you've been reading like 3 days in a row, you know?
Yeah, that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have been reading and feeding them the mind.
Longest streaks, maybe 7 days, you know?
Yeah, I've been putting a timer on the bullshit, like Reels apps or Shorts apps.
You put a time limit?
Yeah, dude. I try parental controlled myself, and I can take it away when it happens. But yeah, like an hour across all of them is what I'm giving
you
myself.
You should have like I tried doing that, and I like had Sarah like put in the pin or whatever. But then as soon as it like gave up, I'm like, hey, can you unlock this for me?
Yeah,
I felt like
give
baby.
Me 10 more minutes.
Yeah,
yeah. What's fucked up is I think TikTok. In all the apps specifically, it knows when you're about to run out of time, so it'll give you an extra long reel for you to look at.
Oh,
and then
so?
It goes away, and you're just like, I didn't even know what was going to happen. I got to watch it. I got to at least watch the rest of it.
And there's just so many of the same thing, you know, like going to reels or like YouTube shorts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it feels like it's not even helping.
Yeah. You could turn off YouTube shorts. I did that.
Really?
Yeah.
I never stumble upon it, you know, when I'm on YouTube. So it's like not an issue.
Yeah, you're probably like a TV YouTuber.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't want to type things out on my TV.
Yeah, that's true.
We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is The Superior Spider-Man. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. You got news, Nathan?
I don't know if I even prepared anything for the news now that I think about it.
Junji Ito got a new live action anthology show coming out.
Live action?
Live action.
Whoa.
It's called Strange, Tales for Sleepless Nights.
That's cool.
It's coming out in like Japan right now, and I don't know when we get like the American release or whatever. But
just get a VPN. Check it out now.
Yeah, and then hopefully they have...
an English dub?
Yeah. Or
a sub at least?
Or subs, yeah. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, me neither. Daniel.
But, yeah.
We're going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And did you know that Matt Kent is going to be debuting his...
Comic in a Can?
Comic in a Can.
Yeah.
Called Fort Psycho. You can actually buy... It's a comic book literally inside of a can. I don't know how big the can is. I assume comic book sized.
Yeah.
Like probably. Maybe something you'd buy like big thing of pickles in or something.
Maybe. Maybe it's a short comic.
It's $25, but there's a comic in there.
$25.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool just to have, though. Like, it'd be like,
is it worth more unopened?
Is that a comic? Yeah.
Yeah. Get your can signed.
Spent $25 on this. Just look at it.
I will buy this if I see it, but I think it's only limited.
I don't think we're going to stumble upon it, Nathan.
I think we
might. If we're going on Sunday, we'll be lucky if anything's left.
That's true.
Any exclusives.
Yeah, everything's going to be ripped apart.
Yeah, it'll be like fucking...
It's like walking into like a Dillard's after like 5 minutes before they close. And
after
like,
Black Friday.
Yeah, after Black Friday. Looks like a bomb went off in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was cool. Ship some cans to your retailers. Get your comic book out of your can. It's all bent to shit. You can't even read it. Can't wait.
Yeah, that'd be cool to have. I think like now that we're going, I'm like, there's so much shit. You know,
there is a lot.
And like before, I would just ignore it so quickly, you know, and so I didn't get FOMO, you know, I'd be like, not me.
Yeah, no, I'm not going.
But. Yep. Nathan, you like Battle Pug?
I do.
It's coming back, Nathan.
Mike Norton's bringing it back.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Coming August 26th. It's called Battle Pug, Cosmic Dogacy.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's going after Nolan.
Yeah,
dude, I respect
with Battle Pug,
the Dogacy. That's awesome. I like that.
We'll do Battle Pug eventually.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, you like Star Wars Visions?
I liked
season 3 coming October 29th.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, people really like that show. I guess
enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember starting season 2, but then forgot about it completely.
Yeah,
it was a while ago when I came out, but
season 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like it came out relatively quickly after season 1 did.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
You got anything else?
I literally don't.
Okay. Nathan.
Let me see if I can find. What?
Absolute Batman.
I'm familiar.
The animated series that was coming soon. will be CG animated by the studio behind What If and Marvel Zombies.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Yay. Dude, oh my. Yeah, I literally had the thought while watching X-Men 97. I'm like, I'm so fucking glad they didn't do that with this shit. It's so much better without that. Dude, I fucking hate that.
How's that? I feel like people are so in proportion in that style, you know? So it's like doing someone that big.
I know.
Just like wouldn't work.
I mean, maybe since it's like darker in general, it might work. And if they like really go crazy with the proportions, it's at least some sort of stylistic choice that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But dude, that's not good news for me.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd be excited about that.
No, I'm not. I'm less excited now. But I think Nick Dragotta's still supposed to be like the art supervisor or something, but who knows what that even means.
Probably.
He's too busy drawing the damn thing.
They probably do like animations of like the drawings, you know?
Yeah.
There's going to be a G.I. Joe and Tomb Raider crossover written by Kyle Higgins and art by Elena Casagrande.
Oh, okay.
On October 7th.
That's fun.
That seems fun for those people that read that.
G.I. Joe?
G.I. Joe and Tomb Raider.
Are there even any Tomb Raider comics?
Yeah, there's a couple.
How come we didn't do that when the new Tomb Raider came out?
Because they're like, I don't even think there was like a trade in print.
Damn.
Because it's like just one of those things where it's like, the franchise jumps around, and I think there was like a good run at Dark Horse. We have to buy it on like eBay or something.
Yeah, that's fair.
So don't worry. Every single possible thing that comes out that has a comic, I determined if,
okay, if it's fair enough.
If there's one thing I overthink about, is that. And last bit of news before the fourth volume even comes out. Bird King.
Mm-hmm.
A Bird King library edition has been announced.
Ooh.
All four volumes come in March 27th.
Dude, that would
March next year.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. It'd be $80. But I think it's a hardcover. And
that's
like,
good because it's right before my birthday, 9 months after that. So
it's right before my birthday.
Well, you're not even caught up.
I will be
okay.
I thought that was like when I saw this, the release date wasn't like at the top. And so I'm like, this comes out like really soon after volume four when I just pre-ordered volume four, you know?
Right.
And one for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I like read it and then I'd be like, wow, that's so good. And get rid of those and get the library edition.
You get rid of them.
Yeah.
I got to keep them.
The small ones?
Yeah.
Get the little guys and the big guys?
That's what I did with Chew.
You still got the little guys? I still got the little guys too.
But I still got the trades 1 through 11, and then I bought the last 5 issues.
Oh, right.
I caught up.
But yeah, that's pretty exciting. That was something we were anticipating. But normally I feel like when something ends, it takes a minute for a collection like that to come out. But I guess 5 months after the final volume is good.
I guess
enough.
That shows that it has some legs on it for sales at least.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I feel like I never hear anybody talk about it in any sort of online sphere or anything.
We might be the only persons who read it.
Yeah, and like
there are
be
people.
Consistently stoked about it.
Yeah.
Unless you're like commenting on Crom's posts.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing anything about it. So.
Yeah.
Good book though.
But what book did we read this week, Nathan?
We read The Superior Spider-Man by Dan Slott with two artists, Ryan Stegman on the first 3 issues and Giuseppe Camuncoli. On 4 and 5. And we got some inkers, John Dell and colorist Edgar Delgado with Antonio Fabella and Chris Eliopoulos.
Hey, yep.
He snuck in again. I think that's 2 in a row of Chris Eliopoulos. But it's volume 1, My Own Worst Enemy. So the beginning of this premise where Doc Ock is his mind is inside of Peter Parker.
When did that happen?
I don't know. I thought this was going to be that, but this is when that started.
I think I prefer that as far as like what I'm reading, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. From what I could gather from context, Doc Ock was like dying, and so he came up with this plan to like put himself inside of Peter Parker.
Yeah, there's like a
sexual
little bit
style.
Of... there's a little bit of like flashback to like kind of what happened, so it's kind of pieced together.
Yeah.
So is... I wonder if Peter Parker was still Spider-Man, like the main one, and this is like an Elseworlds thing,
probably. Well,
Or is there another Spider-Man?
I think it's like an Elseworld. Well, I don't know. Because I feel like Marvel finds a way to make it all work, kind of.
Yeah.
But I think this was the only Spider-Man going for a while.
The only Spider-Man.
I should have looked into it. I just know that people fucking hated this. Which makes sense because really? It's a big swing.
I thought people liked it a lot.
I think there are people that don't like the premise of Peter Parker not being Peter Parker. Peter Parker.
I think everyone who reads Spider-Man doesn't like Spider-Man when it's coming out, but then like they think back on it later. Like that was pretty
good. Yeah, but I know that people that have read through all of it are like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I thought this was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of the questions being posed, and it's like, oh, this is something that I would never get in any other media in general, I feel like.
I was reading this, I'm like, what's the point of this, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, it's like,
why did this happen?
I think it's just to be like, you could be a little bit more cutthroat as Spider-Man and get some shit done.
Yeah.
But you're not a good guy.
It's just got to show that like, his way is like the right way to do it.
He has the capacity to be doing potentially more as like a hero, but with more shadier morals and ethics.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an interesting question to pose because Doc Ock is the villain to, I think, do that with, because he's like a smart guy and he has like the technology, you know, aspect of him and Spider-Man. And this at this point of his story is working at like this big tech company. So he could just like invent shit. So yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting though.
I liked the Stegman's art because like he like does the body language correct,
right?
For his like, oh, that's evil Peter, you know, because he's like, ooh, you know.
And he does do a bit of that.
He's like clearly not like
a bit of
normal
brooding
guy, you know. It's not like we have to remember that Doc Ock's in there.
Yeah, because he's walking around like he's about to dance the Thriller.
Do you like this suit?
I do. The eyes have some texture or some dimension, I guess. And so they pop out a little bit. And I like it when they're not like zooming in on something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I
don't think I need that at all, honestly.
I think this does get to a point where it's too much tech for Spider-Man. And I think that there's a very fine balance that I think you need to find.
Just web shooters.
I think it's fine if he has like maybe like a web grenade or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
Or like spider bots, I could be okay with, maybe. But there's points where he's got a bunch of technology in his eyes to make him see stuff, like radio waves and shit like that. And I'm like, okay, we're doing, I think, a little bit much. But in this, it makes sense because the character is actually Doc Ock, and he's trying to invent a bunch of shit to help him be Spider-Man. So it makes sense for this. But in general, for Spider-Man, I think there's an intricate balance. Because I would normally agree just web shooters, but I also like Iron Spider. It doesn't feel like he's doing too much in the Iron Spider that we read. He's like bulletproof and he has the legs, but that's like kind of it.
And he can change his like appearance just on based off a thought, you know? Like he can change like the color.
Did he? Like Civil War?
Mm-hmm. Dude, look at this thing I have on my iPad. I did this on accident. So when it's sideways, I like could just like scroll, yeah, infinite that, scroller.
That's how it is.
Do you know that?
Yeah, that's how it is on the phone.
What? I've never known this.
Yeah, you could just, that's how I read it in bed.
I feel
but
like
Hoopla doesn't do that.
This has never been an issue for me. Like, no. I just want it to like shrink to fit, but it's not working.
When I'm reading on my phone, I do it like this.
That seems aggravating. I do like the panel to panel thing.
No, panel to panel is more frustrating for me.
It tells you exactly what you need to see.
Yeah, but I like to look at the whole page.
The whole page.
The whole page.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, let's get into this.
Oh my goodness. I don't like the suit.
No?
No.
Not at all. Just the eyes?
So I think when you draw his suit, it's like sometimes like it's colored, like the blue is colored really dark sometimes.
This is just black.
I know that, Aiden. Listen to me.
No.
Like when people color it, sometimes like in a dark area, the blue will look black already sometimes. You know, so when I'm looking at this and even knowing it's black, my eyes still kind of want to see blue. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense at all.
So you think the colorist is bad?
No, it's not the colorist.
No, I know what you mean.
It's just like,
but they have to create some sort of like,
I think it's got to be a different design. all together, because it's just normal Spider-Man with black, you know.
He's trying to be normal Spider-Man.
And then, is the black just give it away? Like, this is evil Spider-Man, you know?
No, because regular Spider-Man had black to begin with, I thought. Mm. Was it an Amazing Fantasy? Red and black?
No, is it?
I think it is. I think the blue is later. I could be totally wrong.
I think you might be totally wrong.
I think I'm blowing smoke up your ass.
Yeah, hold on. I think you might be full of shit.
I think it's technically black. It's a red and black suit.
That seems wrong.
Steve Ditko intended the secondary color of the costume to be a dark purple.
I might like that more.
There's a universe where it could have had a red and purple Spider-Man.
Very interesting.
The first comment is don't care. That's hilarious. But yeah, I think the red suit people accept it as red and black. So if anything, this is vintage Spider-Man, Daniel.
I guess so.
That's interesting. I never liked the fat spider on the back. I've never been a big fan of that.
I don't even know if I noticed that. Oh,
like
yeah.
Like this thing?
Yeah, it doesn't look very good. Like, it really should just be like the same thing that's on the front.
Yeah, maybe with longer legs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To fill out the back. I've never liked the like big circle spider in any design.
That makes sense.
But I think the way that Stegman draws these eyes make it look kind of cool. I just need big eyes in general.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously. I mean, I can ignore like the lens thing that they do, but... Mm-hmm.
But I like it. But anyway, issue one, Daniel. Otto Octavius is dead, but his mind is in Peter Parker, and so he is now the new Spider-Man, and as is at his first outing, he is stopping the new Sinister Six, which has a bunch of shitters, essentially, which is the Shocker, Boomerang, Living Brain, Overdrive, Beetle, and Speed Demon. And most of the Sinister Six escape, but Peter captures and studies the Living Brain at his job at Horizon Labs, and then Peter goes on a date with MJ and prepares an ambush for the next Sinister Six plan, and he stops him because he was able to prepare beforehand and even called the press to witness it all. And so Spider-Man is about to like kill Boomerang, like pretty much in front of the press. But then there's like the real Peter Parker's soul or something influences Otto not to do it. So there's like a little bit of Peter Parker in there still.
I didn't get the feeling that Peter really stopped him. It seemed like almost like
he just had
a conscience almost for a second. But
I think it's Peter Parker's consciousness affecting Otto's consciousness. Because you see the soul of Peter Parker grabbing his arm as he's about to like finish him off in that like top right panel. So it's definitely. And then him himself was like, that was odd. I had every intention of ending that man, but I stayed my hand, you know. But I like this idea because it's Otto not really realizing that Peter is influencing him, like a firestorm situation. They're not like talking to each other.
Yeah.
Peter Parker's just kind of in the back seat, like an obsession type thing, I imagine. This is basically obsession before obsession. I'm just realizing.
Because
I think.
Gotcha.
Because the real person's in there, but someone else is like driving.
Right. You know. There was like a cop at the Sinister Six attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, don't send more of those super cops. So he doesn't want clankers.
No.
He's ahead of the curve.
Yeah. He keeps it simple.
Speed Demon definitely isn't as cool looking as like the name Speed Demon.
Yeah, it is a good name.
Yeah. But he just looks like a generic Spider-Man villain, I guess. He looks like I feel like I'd get him mixed up with like Boomerang almost. If it wasn't for like some color scheme.
Right. Yeah, and I wonder how fast he is, because he doesn't seem like Quicksilver fast. Maybe just like
quicker than everyone else, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, he was able to like hit Spider-Man like quite a few times.
That's true.
You know, to where like he just had to leave. So that fast.
The person that looks cooler than they should is the Shocker. Because I feel like Ryan Stegman puts a lot of texture in like those in the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it looks cool.
Yeah, I'm like, who's that again? Is it like a scorpion or is it like Psycho Pirate or something?
You remembered Psycho Pirate before the Shocker?
Absolutely, yeah.
He was in the movie.
Psycho Pirate?
No.
Shocker was?
Shocker.
What movie?
In Homecoming.
Shocker was in it?
But he didn't have the suit. He just had the fucking tech.
Oh, did he?
To shock things.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Did you see Boomerang's teeth in this panel?
Yeah. He's got some chompers.
Why has he got like rabbit teeth? Like he doesn't have like.
I think it's just his top row of teeth, but he didn't draw the lines in for it for some reason.
I don't know, dude. It looks like he's just got two big front teeth. You know, like these are teeth, bottom teeth, but I feel like they'd wrap around. No?
That's pretty damning. But there's another panel where you see like a full row of teeth. So yeah, it's not Bugs Bunny.
Just the angle, I guess.
I like this Overdrive villain. I feel like I've seen that big wheel villain before in like some list of campy Marvel villains or whatever.
Yeah.
But I like that. Dan Slott was like, let's put that guy in.
Who's this purple guy? Some wasp guy?
Beetle.
Beetle?
Just Beetle.
Just Beetle.
Unless that's... No, Overdrive is the wheel. Living Brain is the robot, which who knows who the fuck that is. It's crazy when like the most famous person is Boomerang
or the Shocker. Yeah, like that was like the first person I recognized.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man has these little like blades in his like fingertips.
Yeah, what the hell? I don't like that at all.
And he like scratched Boomerang.
Boomerang, yeah.
And I was thinking like, is that how he climbs or does he just have those right now?
I hope that's not how they're trying to explain that he climbs.
Yeah.
Because
that wouldn't really make sense.
In Toby Spider-Man,
he had little
hairs, and I'm like, okay, whatever.
It goes through the costume.
I don't need an explanation, you know, because if you try to go with like, oh, he's got little hooks. If he's climbing on like drywall, you'd see little dots and shit in there. Yeah, and I don't want to have to think about that.
Well, it's kind of like the push pins, you know. You normally can't see it from a distance if you pull them out.
That's true. I wrote down, Otto went through the trouble of swapping minds with Peter so that he could get a redheaded baddie like MJ.
Yeah. Dude.
I think that's his ultimate motive.
Yeah, that's pretty grapey.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know who Ghost Spider is?
Yeah.
Like
Spider-Gwen.
Yeah. I like just learned that. And so like when Peter Parker's like still there, but as like a ghost, I guess. I'm like, Ghost Spider.
Mm.
that makes more sense.
This is what they've been talking about.
Yeah,
it's been
for Spider-Gwen, that's just a cool name, you know?
Yeah, it's a bad rebrand that they tried to go with.
Yeah.
After, like, Gwen.
Because, like, Spider-Gwen doesn't seem like a good superhero name.
It's not a like a good in-universe.
Gives away a lot.
It'd be like, oh, Super Nathan.
Yeah. Super Bob.
And then just, like, a little fucking Google search or reverse image search, and you find my Facebook.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And anyway, I think what I appreciate about this is that it's a big swing, and so it's kind of interesting to me what he does with it.
Yeah, I've always kind of wanted to look into this
mm-hmm.
in the very short list of spider stuff I'd want to check out.
Mm-hmm. So issue 2, Spider-Man gets some good press, and he's on the good side of Mayor J. Jonah Jameson. And then MJ and Carly are watching this on the TV and they're like, this is weird that Spider-Man and JJJ are friends. But Carly, who's, I think, a person that works for the NYPD, remembers when Otto Octavius claimed to be Peter Parker right before his death. And she's like, Spider-Man is acting a little bit different. And then Peter ends up creating spider bots for the city, like thousands of them to just patrol for crime. And then he tries to reunite with MJ, but MJ's taking it slow, which kind of pisses off Otto or Peter. And then later, a Spider-Bot catches Vulture minions attacking MJ's nightclub. So Peter saves MJ, then admits that they can't be together and says that they both have to move on. And that's pretty much that issue. But there's a page where Otto is like remembering all of Peter's memories, and it's like this big collage, but everywhere where there should be Peter Parker's face is Otto Octavius's face. Like,
yeah.
Almost like deep faked in. And I'm like, this is kind of just like a funny idea for a page, especially because they have like the upside down kiss and it's got Doc Ock's like visors instead of like Spider-Man's yeah. visors, and I think that's a really funny addition.
Yeah, so Peter can't like read his mind, but Otto yaps a lot, mm-hmm. you know, so that he like can see what he's thinking, you know?
Yeah, if Otto's thinking it out loud,
yeah,
then I think Soul Peter can go with him. But what's also funny is that when Doc Ock is swinging around as Spider-Man, there's like a Soul Spider-Man also swinging around with him.
Yeah.
So it's like, did he have to put on the suit in his Soul form?
Yeah,
to
just,
like
just swing float around? Behind him or something. Yeah.
You'd think he'd just be able to do that. But I think Stegman just wanted to draw Spider-Man twice.
Maybe. Do you think Peter would say it's Crazy Town Banana Pants?
I don't think so.
That's something that Ghost Spider says. Ghost Peter says.
Oh, really? Real Peter says that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like,
I remember Spider-Man
shaking hands with J. Jonah Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
Does he always have the Hitler stash?
Dude, I was going to say the Hitler mustache is a little problematic in this one.
Yeah.
He always does.
This was, like, 13 years ago. And I feel like...
He's always had it. I think...
It's, like, 50-50, I think. When you Google it, it's, like...
Did Simmons have it?
No, full stash.
It was a full stash. That's a better look.
Because,
well, sometimes the stash cuts off like before it even reaches like the corners of his mouth, and I think that's what we should all agree to be on.
This is close, you know?
Close to like Hitler?
Yeah.
It's way closer to Hitler. It is Hitler. Maybe a stronger Hitler stash.
Sure.
If you're going to do it, at least do it better than the guy.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it is tough.
But I like the aspect of this that Otto's like trying to make being Spider-Man more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Because like going on patrol, like these normal routes, does seem...
You're one guy in
like
a city.
A waste of time, you know?
Yeah, in a city with millions of people. So it would be kind of tough. So I think there's a lot of merit to the premise. And obviously... He's smart enough to know how to like get on the side of good press. And so it's kind of interesting to see him like actually be friends with J. Jonah Jameson.
Kind of do like some aspects of this a little bit better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And the ghost Peter also has spider sense.
Yeah, that's funny to me. I mean, they have the same brain still. They're all in they're all in the same noggin.
Or soul.
Yeah.
He's got spider soul sense.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why are his webs yellow? Did you notice that?
I do not like that. Dude.
I don't
it's
like that
gross.
At all. Dude, he's got some piss webs that he's slinging around.
Yeah, either like that grayish color or like white, you know? It's just gross. And the fact that like I know if it came out of his body, it'd be even grosser, you know? If it was like the organic webs.
Yeah, you're an organic webs. Do you prefer that or the...
I mean, it's never in the comics, so it like doesn't matter, but I just kind of grew up with it being that,
mm-hmm.
so I'm kind of more used to it.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea that like if you're bitten by the spider, you get the spider powers, including the web slinging, you know?
That's right.
Because essentially, in ASM, he's like just strong and can climb, you know?
Yeah. On walls.
But that like wasn't enough or whatever, so it's like, yeah, why not do like all of it, you know?
Yeah, I think adding the webs is like the identity of a spider. And so the fact that he like, just figures out how to make web shooters is less spider-esque. He's just a sticky guy.
You think spiders have spider sense?
No, that's just a thing that they put in.
It can be hard to kill them sometimes, like as if they do, you know?
It's like they know when I'm about to throw my chancla.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe they do.
And it's like, if you're not quick enough, it will get away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, I guess.
It'd be funny if Spider-Man, when he's trying to get away from somebody, like, shakes his like arms and legs really quickly, like, on the ground. Because you know when, like, a spider, like, runs, it's just, like, shit's, like, flinging around. It's interesting that MJ is, like, a nightclub owner.
Yeah, she's got a...
And then she's surprised that Vulture minions are coming to get her because the club is at Vulture's old hideout.
She's like, you're with Tombs. I'm like, they are little vultures. Of course they're with Tombs, you know?
Nothing gets past her.
Yeah.
Yeah, little vulture minions are kind of interesting. I don't know why it couldn't have just been Vulture that came, but...
Yeah, with, like, the whole breakup thing, I'm like, this is pretty logical, you know? Like, just being a super hero, the relationship aspect is super dangerous, you know? And he's like super like mature about it, you know, which is odd.
What's weird is that he becomes super mature about it at the end of this issue, when pretty much the full first half of this issue, he's like trying to go on multiple dates, trying to get some ass.
Yeah.
And so I guess he just makes a calculation later. But yeah. I like the little differences between Otto and like the real Peter that MJ can sort of notice.
Yeah.
You know, throughout this, like, too. Cause she's like,
cause he acts differently.
He does act different.
And so it's like
as Spider-Man and as Peter. So I like that there's kind of a,
she's got like an ick, but she's not sure what it is.
Yeah. It's like an ick that she can't put her finger on. And so she's like taking things slow, probably because of that.
Right.
And she's like surprised. We're like, if you know where the Sinister Six is, why don't you just go get him now? And he's like, I'm scheming, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like way different than what he would normally do.
Yeah. He's like trying to trap him and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like,
and she's like, okay.
Yeah.
But issue 3, J. Jonah Jameson creates a spider signal to summon Spider-Man, but Spider-Man destroys the signal and gives J. Jonah Jameson a secure line instead, because that makes way more sense.
Yeah, like...
a little dig at Batman, I guess.
Why would I have something in the sky that shows my enemies where I'm at?
Yeah. You know? And then Carly grows more suspicious of Spider-Man as they work together to find Vulture's new hideout. Spider-Man confronts the Vulture, but instead tries offering Vulture a bunch of money from an old Otto Octavius account to stop his like whole life of crime. But then Spider-Man sees that Vulture's minions are children, so he gets like super pissed. Spider-Man fights Vulture like in the air and kind of brutally takes him down by using the spider signal at like a higher intensity to blind him. And all of that just kind of raises more suspicion with Carly.
I wonder if like the bat signals ever like caused a problem for Batman.
Surely it would have.
Yeah, at right? some point.
Surely someone like a Joker gets Commissioner Gordon to like turn on the thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen as often as you'd think, I feel like.
Yeah. So in this continuity, J. Jonah Jameson's mayor,
mm-hmm.
which I guess could happen, some media outlet guy like goes for politics.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that.
Yeah. But it, at this point, I'm like, I get that, you know, Peter talking and then like, Ock like talking out loud is like for us. But logically, I'm like, why is this ghost talking to himself, essentially, you know, like throughout it? Like, it only comes in handy when he's about to do something and Peter doesn't want him to do something.
I think that's characteristic for Peter Parker, though. Even when he's like fighting yapping. People, he's just yapping. You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
There's a line where Carly talks to like a police officer about not working with Spider-Man. And the guy says, well, I changed my mind. And then Carly responds, there's a lot of that going around lately. And I think that's good because she is suspicious of Otto switching his mind with Peter's.
Yeah. I saw a little art whoopsie.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. You can see Otto Octavius' back.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And there's arms.
The arms don't connect to his back.
No.
Where are they coming out of?
I don't know.
His dick.
It looks like they come out of his, like...
his sides?
His front, almost. But, like, we see the front of him. So that's, like, not it.
Yeah.
Because, like, in this one, it's, like, clearly behind him.
Yeah, that's so true.
Maybe he, like...
maybe he was, like...
started drawing him, like, front-facing.
He's like, I'll connect him later.
He's like, how's he going to press the button if he's facing... if he's, like, if his back's facing it?
We see some, like, backstory of like Otto, and I've never thought of what his backstory would be, but I definitely never thought that he'd have this like redneck abusive father.
Never thought he'd have a dad.
I never thought he'd have a dad in general. Yeah.
I like when Peter like realizes that the little vultures are kids. He's like, you're not using midgets.
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
Different time, I guess.
Yeah, different time.
Child labor.
Which is crazy because literally later in this book, there's someone that identifies themselves as a little person. And so I'm like, he had the mental faculties to know that you should probably just call him little person, but he chooses to call him midgets in this.
Yeah. And then when he's like chasing down Vulture, Vulture can just fly. Like, but he doesn't use his wings.
Yeah, he's got like a gravity suit or something. And I'm like, just give him the wings.
Yeah, like, I want to see like big wings, you know?
Yeah. There's probably some in-universe continuity thing as to why, but I like a vulture with wings, man.
It's probably more.
I like his big nose, though.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
He's a good vulture artist.
Well, he's a good Adrian Toomes artist.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't see vulture here, Nathan. Yeah. Issue four. Do you like when issues are named?
Yeah.
Like they have, this one's called The Aggressive Approach.
I'm indifferent.
It just seems.
You don't need to.
It just seems pointless, you know, because then this is like a 30 issue run. You have to come up with like 30 titles.
Yeah, like I feel like issue. Unless it's somehow a part of the story, like you see it, like a title of it in the panel.
And I don't somewhere. Even think if. Remember the title enough when I'm reading it for it to like make sense, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, is if this I'm a
reading
title?
This and it's like, oh, this one's called The Aggressive Approach. I wonder what this one's about. I wouldn't reflect on what the title was before that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I guess I've never really been like, it's never changed my experience.
Right.
But issue four is where Giuseppe Camuncoli comes in. Spider-Man keeps inventing crazy stuff for Horizon Labs, but. But the villain Massacre escapes Ravencroft and he murders a bunch of people at a burger town, which is like a fast food place. And Peter hears of this whole thing while he's trying to re-enroll at school for his doctorate. And so he decides to help find Massacre. And then some of the leftover children children vulture minions are trying to figure out like what to do now. And then they're approached by the Green Goblin. Who we don't see for the rest of this trade. But what do you think about Giuseppe Camuncoli Spider-Man?
He draws him kind of thicker.
He does got a little bit bigger of a midsection, but I think he does such a good job with like swinging Spider-Man. Maybe it was next issue, but there's a panel I saw where he's swinging around and I was like, God, that's cool looking.
I think the lenses are a little more emphasized.
Yeah, they
are. In this
issue
with his art. But everything else is pretty solid. I don't remember. How do I know Giuseppe Camuncoli? Darth Vader? Okay.
Yeah. Darth Vader, and then he's done some Daredevil stuff and something else that we've read for the show.
Okay.
Probably another Star Wars thing. But I wonder what's up with this like Massacre villain. Because he seems pretty 90s.
Does he?
I mean, he's just like a guy that guns people down.
It is like an interesting...
And his name's Massacre.
That's a cool name.
It is a cool name. That's why it makes me think 90s.
It made me think of the Mexican Deadpool, like Massacre or something like that. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember that.
I was reading like Jerry Duggan's run in like 2015.
Mm.
And there was like a one shot that was like all in Spanish.
That's funny.
And I like tried reading it with like the little...
Oh, I remember you
Google
doing that.
Translate lens thing, which didn't work very well. And then
especially
came out
at the time.
Then they came out with an English version, so I just bought the same thing twice.
That's how they get you.
This, like, rabbit villain seems kind of 90s. Did you see that? When,
Oh, yeah.
It's just, like, some girl who has ears and has the nose of a rabbit.
Yep.
And has, like, goons. That was...
That is a pretty 90s one.
A very quick throwaway villain.
Yeah, he's gotta get some of the low lifes.
Yeah, he goes very like Patriot Act with these spider things. Cause he's like just watching like everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and
obviously
trying to
invasion
stop.
Of privacy.
Yeah, I mean these are villains who are doing bad things, so it's all seems pretty warranted, but I feel like this wouldn't be something that Peter would
take on
because it's almost like
it's creepy. It's like mass surveillance.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's almost better and more interesting when he just stumbles upon, you know, crime or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you could just like happen to like cross Spider-Man's just path that he's on. I do like the idea of him going to finish his doctorate so that he can maintain the title. of being so a doctor. Petty. Dude, it's like the most petty thing.
I daydream about going back to school with the knowledge I have now, like all the time. I feel like I'd be like, I'd just tear it up, you know?
You think you'd do better in school?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I think I wouldn't.
Not like math or anything, because I barely got through some of the harder ones in like high school, you know?
But right.
Other stuff, I'm like, yeah, I know this, you know?
I don't think I would pass any class that I took in college now. Like if I took any exam or anything like that.
But if you really, I mean,
maybe like the first year. But he's
keeping up with this stuff, you know? It's like if you went to school for like what you do now, you know?
Mm. I would pass. Yeah, actually, I did take one computer science class and I was like, this shit's easy. But it was easy for me at the time.
Right.
You daydream about just crushing it in school.
yeah, dude. Did you notice that there was a scientist at the place that he works at, and his name's like Uatu?
Yeah, what the hell is up with that?
Yeah.
Because it seems like that shares a name with a very peculiar...
Is this human Uatu or something?
I don't know.
I
don't know. I have no idea. Because he's bald as well, so it's like, obviously it's a reference to the Watcher.
So when he goes back to school, there's like... girls at school who like notice him immediately and find him attractive, but he's got like a Bluetooth earpiece, and I don't know who would be attracted to that like at in any time, you know?
Yeah, I think that's Nick's issue, but yeah,
he's not even on the phone that often.
Yeah, who are you calling?
Yeah, maybe it's like his spider,
his bots that are giving him updates.
Yeah, probably.
In issue 5.
Sorry, one last thing. So in Burger Mart or
Burger Town.
The massacre is talking to the cash register dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, holding up the place. But they have like a silent alarm that he triggers. And why would like a Burger King have a silent alarm, you know?
I think a lot of places do.
It seems like it's just a bank thing.
When I worked at the Microsoft store, they had a silent alarm.
Okay, I mean that's like because there's a lot of
technology and laptops and stuff that you can steal.
But like stealing like a burger,
I think if you're gonna rob a place, you're not going to Burger King. Yeah, typically.
So that's why it's weird that it's like there. You know?
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
But anyway, 5.
Yep. After the shooting at Burger Town, Massacre offers the CEO to kill Moore while wearing the Fizzy-Cola logo to get some bad publicity. And the CEO is just like, yeah, sure, I guess, just leave. And so Spider-Man adds facial recognition to his spider bots to try to locate Massacre. And when he gets an alert, Spider-Man calls the police chief to send backup to Grand Central Station where Massacre is. And Spider-Man secretly frees hostages that Massacre would have used for leverage. They were all like rigged with explosives and stuff. And so Spider-Man stops Massacre at Grand Central Station, then points a gun at his head, threatening to kill him. And then for a second there, Massacre like feels some emotion. And he's like, I'm actually scared in this moment. But Spider-Man pulls the trigger and kills him anyway, despite Ghost Peter's influence. And then Spider-Man threatens the CEO to turn herself in for paying Massacre.
So the news says that he neutralized the shooter. And you see a bang, you see him pulling a trigger, but like...
He killed him for sure.
I think it'll probably come back that he didn't.
Really?
Yeah. It's too ambiguous. I like ambiguous. The
idea that he killed him.
Yeah, definitely. Because this is definitely a different like story arc than you'd expect in like Spider-Man. Yeah. Where there's like...
So if there's ever...
A murderer, you know...
If there's ever a run where this panel makes sense, where he's like holding a gun, a whack-ass gun, by the way, what the fuck is that? Do you notice how weird the guns look?
Yeah.
Maybe they couldn't put like real
is
guns
that his
in.
His gun?
That's Massacre's gun. But yeah, they make sense for him to do it here. And I like just the fact that he did it. Maybe he like shot him in the leg or some shit, but.
Or I imagine it's one of those like he shoots next to his head and it goes in the ground or whatever, but really just arrests
maybe
him.
Maybe he shot the little robot part.
Yeah.
It is crazy just to commit to Spider-Man using a gun in general. So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Did you notice that in the Spider-Man design, he's got a big toe?
Well, he's got like a toe sock thing for his big toe, and it's got like extra lines like his finger does.
Yeah.
So, I didn't notice that until the back matter.
I didn't notice that until this issue. So I wonder if it happened in the Stegman stuff.
It must have. Or I guess maybe not.
No, he just has regular like shovel feet. So maybe
you did see that?
Looking at the Stegman pages now, he doesn't have a big toe. He said, I'm not doing that shit.
Oh, no, he doesn't. Interesting decision.
Yeah. That's a very deliberate decision, because I feel like
he like wants to know like it's him on art. You know?
It's like the Pharrell like signature. But this is one of the swinging poses that I liked. It's very like kind of JRJR almost. This one. That one's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one where he's like, shit. And there's another one where he's just kind of doing a sweet pose to like Aurora Farm. So I like a lot of what Giuseppe was doing in this issue.
For sure. Going to Back Matter Matters?
Yep.
Back Matter Matters.
Just some variants. Although Joe Quesada does not do a good Spider-Man mask. The eyes are too little.
Yeah.
It makes him look more sinister.
What's that one book that we read where he had like small eyes like that? Didn't we read something like that?
Was it also the Joe Quesada one?
Maybe. I barely remember the design in that.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. I don't know if I would remember it.
But this like looks... Oh, no. The Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man by Tom Taylor that we read.
Yeah, you're right.
He had like the normal kind of eyes.
Those ones were pretty small.
I like Joe Quesada though, like normally.
Yeah, I do too. I think he does really good stuff.
Yeah, Scotty Young, gotta do that.
Mm-hmm.
Humberto Ramos.
He's gotta give him a big lat. A long torso.
The biggest lat.
There's an Ed McGuinness design variant, which is cool. So I wonder if he did like the initial design for it.
That'd be interesting. I mean, when you're just doing pencils, the only new thing is like the lenses in the toe.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe.
Well, the spider design on the back, they're like, make him sharp, so it's evil. There's a Mike Deodato variant. He's a great Spider-Man artist.
Yeah, it doesn't really look very Mike Deodato, like what he is like now. So I think that was like when he was doing like the Marvel style, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, pretty much just some variants.
This one by Addy Granov.
He's great.
His foot makes it seem like he's got like outsoles on like his...
He's supposed to in the design variant. He's got like a little target on his big toe. I think that's where the claw comes out.
You think so?
Because his big toe has a claw just like his fingertips did. So I think that was just in the design in general.
And then an actual Ed McGuinness variant. He's really good.
He's so good.
Big fan.
But yeah, that is it. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
And then there's this variant for the next like trade.
Yeah.
It's The Dude Who Did Friday.
Marcos Martin.
Marcos Martin, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good cover.
That's really good. I feel like they kinda overdo like the spiderweb design on like the hands. Because it's just like a bunch of lines.
It
like,
is a bunch of lines
wrapping around his fingers.
At a higher density than the rest of his costume.
Yeah. I don't know if we need that. You need it for all of his little knives that are in his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this must have been a reprint one because it's got the collections like that follow this.
Yeah.
Peach Momoko variant.
That one's cool.
Yeah. But, sorry, what did you rate this? Or what do you rate this?
I asked you what you rated it first.
I rate this a banana split, Nathan. It's like, is it something that I want? Not really, you know? Like, how does it make me feel? You know, is it... Like, am I enjoying it throughout? You know? And is it, like, hold my attention?
Yeah.
Like, somewhat. Like, banana split is, like, objectively a good dessert.
And he's got a split personality.
But, like, I just, like, don't order them, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
But this is cool to, you know, just check out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the, it's like a pretty big run. So it's all, it's something that's always been on my radar.
Yeah.
And I'd probably give it a Neapolitan.
Okay.
Ice cream. I don't normally go for it, but
pretty good.
There's multiple ice creams in there.
I'm pretty excited when things are Neapolitan, you know, like if there's like a pizza. Ice cream sandwich, what?
Pizza.
Yeah. Or like a ice cream sandwich is Neapolitan or like a, I don't know. They have like Neapolitan
shakes. It is good form for an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
Because they're just long enough for you to enjoy each
a little flavor. Bit of it. Yeah. Yeah, and they don't like bleed together, you know? So yeah, for sure. What do you think this is rated on League of Comic Geeks?
4.2.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very good. I'm very, very hesitant when you like nail it. I'm like, do you look this up?
No, I always forget that we do this every time.
Okay. So let's go into the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What are you getting this week? Do you know?
In my box, I'm shoving up there a Absolute Green Arrow number 3.
Yeah.
Excited for that one.
Is that coming out?
Okay. Yeah, already. Battle Beast 11.
Mm-hmm.
And Avengers Armageddon number 2. And that's it.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it the second one a try, and if it doesn't pick up as much as I want it to, then I'll probably keep it there. It'll be Avengers Armor Not Getting the next one.
There's like a Punisher versus Spidey like miniseries starting. Yeah,
I did see that.
I don't know if I'll do that.
Seems like just
it's a pretty movie short synergy week, stuff. Yeah. So. Did you read anything?
I did. I read the book that you recommended.
Ooh. That he's taking out physically.
Hard boiled.
Yes, sir.
Or maybe it's called Hard Boiled Frank Miller Jeff Darrow, because the text is about the same size for all of it.
Yeah.
But this is fucking crazy.
Isn't it like absolutely insane?
It is. When did this even come out?
90s, maybe?
90s. This is definitely like both of their most underrated work.
Probably, yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like a lot of Frank Miller stuff is appropriately rated for like what it is, but this is like pretty cool and kind of different from him.
It's not like,
I mean, I guess the most done, like Judge Dredd.
It's stuff. Not the most dense plot, you know? No. So it maybe that.
But I like that. It's like simple.
Yeah, I don't need words all over Jeff Darrow art.
And Jeff Darrow does not cut any corners.
This might be his magnum opus.
It is the most. Anytime it's not a splash page, I'm like, what are we doing?
It's like mostly splash it's like pages. Mostly
splash pages and double page spreads. And there's so much people having sex all over the place.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just in the street having sex. I'm like, how long have you been doing that? And it's like, it's so fun to just read this as like an I Spy.
Yeah. You kind of have to look at like every inch of the pages.
You do. And I found myself just looking at the underside of cars.
Yeah.
Like under the cars you'll see sometimes. And I'm like, there's a lot of mechanics going on.
There's
here.
Just a lot of cars. I'm like, surely
that's not what they look like. But he puts more detail in like, there.
How would he have time?
But like,
why would he find pictures?
Everything is fully detailed.
It's like something you have to read physically.
It
you know?
Looks like he published an iSpy book.
Basically,
you can make this an iSpy book,
dude. Imagine a Jeff Darrow puzzle.
That would be fucking ridiculous.
I'd kill myself.
But imagine like he could actually publish this and like have the page before be like a close-up of like this guy and be like, find him in this artwork.
Yeah,
but it's really fun to just look at all the individual stories, because like this is our main character just in the bottom left, and then all the rest is like just other shit. And so I'm looking at,
you just know he's like walking somewhere.
Yeah, but I'm looking at everybody else and like these guys are fighting in the street. I'm just like, what's their problem?
Yeah.
Or you'll see someone with like a shirt that says like Beastie Boys on it, and I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, like that guy's got a swastika.
Yeah,
you know?
Or like someone had like, I think it was a reference to Dark Knight, but someone had like the Batman logo on his forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really cool. And I like Jeff Darrow. I've only seen his stuff that he posts online, and I tried reading Shaolin Cowboy, but I didn't really know what was going on. So I stopped.
We should do
that. But I like his stuff a lot. And this is definitely my favorite from him now.
Nice.
So that was a good find.
Nice. Yeah. I'm glad you liked it. I was like, just start reading it. You know, I can't show you like a good page, you know. Just,
yeah,
like,
it's all good page.
You went way
overboard with like a lot of the future tech, like all the surgery tech. I'm like, there's way too much going on here.
I'm like, what is the point of these doohickeys?
It looks like he tangles like four wired headphones together and he's like, this is what I'm going to draw.
I bet he like follows it. Like, this is it. Like, this does something.
There's so many tubes and
this connects
tendrils that are doing shit. But yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, definitely the most dense artwork I feel like I've seen. And
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. He's good. But even when he's like doing close ups on Nixon, who's like the main character of this, it's really cool looking. It's very pulpy, kind of like kind of shit.
Yeah. I guess this has been in like development hell for like a movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's,
I can't imagine it'll ever
be anything. No. But it'd be crazy.
It would be pretty wild.
What else did you read? Was it just that?
That was that. Yeah.
I read Rom, the yep. one shot, and the blind bags.
Uh-huh.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It is a one shot, you know, so. But Rom will be in Void Rivals.
I did hear about that,
in future
yeah.
issues, so. Mm. This is just kind of like an entry point, so I don't know if they'll, like, come back with a solo series or something, or if they're just going to re-release that.
I hope that this was a feeler for if people want Rom. And I hope that they think that people want Rom.
Personally, that's the only thing of the blind bag that I wanted. You know?
I don't care about Mask.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Give me Rom.
I read like the first couple issues of Love and Rockets.
Cool.
By this one was Gilbert Hernandez. And it's like one of the like Love and Rockets like library editions or whatever. And they have, like, it seems like they kind of trade off in, like, those library editions. Mm. But it's kind of, like, just a collection of a bunch of, like, magazines that they did in, like, the 90s.
Is it that cover where the person's on the stage and they're about to do Stomp?
I think that's the second one.
Okay.
This one was called...
I love that cover.
Maggie the Mechanic.
Mm.
And I thought it was just kind of, like, a slice of life, like, romance thing, and it kind of is, but this one's like set in like the future, and so it's like that art style.
Gotcha.
And like drawing like future tech and stuff, like she's like a mechanic for these, you know, like hovercrafts and stuff, and mm-hmm. weird tech that they got going on. And it's like pretty dense, but it's like, it seems like it reads pretty well. I was reading that because they're going to Comic-Con, but not the days we're not the day we're going.
God damn it.
I know. I was like, fuck. And so I pivoted to Sin City Volume 2, which is A Dame to Kill For.
Mm-hmm.
Kick ass. It's awesome. Yeah. It's so good. I think I love Sin City. I'm not sure.
I liked it.
Yeah, no. It's
what we read.
It's awesome. There's like five more volumes of Sin City, so I'll probably make my way through those.
Nice.
But it's just more like kick-ass shadows and stuff, and mm-hmm. a lot of black and white.
It's like, is that a person or is that just part of the wall? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's awesome, and it just reads like really swiftly.
Yeah,
it's not focused on Marv, who's like the main character in the first one, but Marv is in it.
Mm.
It's kind of like slightly a prequel, but then like also kind of. Things that happen in the first Sin City are happening in like the background.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's just kind of all around the same time, it seems like, so far.
That's neat.
Then I read She-Hulk number 4 from the Dan Slott run. This got kind of confusing because this issue had J. Jonah Jameson and he wasn't the mayor. He's just...
What?
Yeah. He's
You're telling me he probably wrote those things at different points in his life?
He did. Can you believe that? I think this is like 2004.
Yeah.
There's a like a defamation case that one of the lawyers at her firm is against J. Jonah Jameson on behalf of Spider-Man. So Spider-Man, like, you know, is a witness and he goes up to the stand or whatever.
That's fun.
And then he's like, why do you think J. Jonah Jameson doesn't like you? He's like, he doesn't like me Because I'm black.
I like that.
He's like, I'm just kidding. But I just thought that was so funny.
That
like,
is a good one.
I didn't expect this kind of dialogue, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been pretty good. Did you watch anything?
I played a new game. I played Dead Space 3. So throwback.
Is that, oh, it's old?
Yeah, old.
How many of those are there?
3.
Okay.
And then a remaster of the first game.
Have you ever played 3?
I played a little bit of 3, but only for like 30 minutes at like a friend's house.
Are you just playing it with Sophie?
I'm playing it with Parker.
Oh.
And it's really funny because you could play it like online still, like there's still servers.
Yeah.
But if you use the in-game voice chat, it sounds like a shitty Xbox 360 mic.
Ooh.
And so we've just been doing that.
That's kind of
funny. It literally sounds like you're talking on a walkie-talkie to each other.
You're like going back in time.
It's really, really funny. But that game's so cinematic. I didn't realize.
The fact that some of the old games like that still have servers is
it's like crazy.
Insane.
Like you could buy Call of Duty World at War on Steam and play it online.
Did like Black Ops 2 come back or something?
Yeah, I think people are saying that since Sony's doing away with physical media and
yeah,
they got people pissed online, they just re-released Black Ops 2. I think you had to own the newest Call of Duty, but you could just download Black Ops 2.
Okay. So that was like a...
It was like, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. And it worked probably for some people.
But they're not going back on it?
No. No.
Did Xbox like kind of double down on physical media or something? Like they're bringing discs back kind of?
No.
No? Okay.
I think eventually they'll probably make the same thing. But they're already under some heat because they laid off like 1,600 people at Xbox alone.
That's a lot of people.
Like I knew someone that got laid off.
That sounds like all of them.
Dude, I know. I'm like, how many fuckers did you get in there?
Is it just the CEO now?
yeah. There's like a new Xbox CEO. She seems to be doing well for the most part with like a lot of the stuff because she lowered like Game Pass, you know, prices and stuff. And she has an interesting roadmap for the future. But we also laid off 600 people, so it's not great.
Yeah.
So. But Dead Space 3 is fun. It's there's a lot more like mechanically kind of going on and it's very cinematic, I noticed. Just because they...
So a lot of stuff that's just kind of like cutscenes and stuff? Or
Some cutscenes and then some just like you're like out in space and you're using like a spacesuit to like fly around and you have to like avoid debris in the air and stuff. And so I'm like, they were cooking on this.
Yeah.
And I hope they make another one. It's a fun game.
When did Dead Space 3 come out?
2012.
Yeah.
So just I don't think anybody
14 year break,
but they remastered the first one and released it for like $70. I'm like, fuck that.
Like recently,
like last year, I want to say. So when I played it, I saw that there's a remaster. That's why I got the idea to play it.
Yeah.
And then I saw it was like 60 bucks or 70 bucks. And I was like, I mean,
that's kind of standard.
I'll play the Xbox 360 version. It is, but it's a remaster of a game.
Yeah.
And they built it from the ground up, like really actually remaking all of it, which is probably cool. You know, if you like the games, but I'm like, give me the old ass version because that shit's still scary.
I mean, they brought Skate back, and I think 3 came out in like 2014 or something.
But they're not remaking the exact same game. That's what the Dead Space remaster was.
Yeah, I'm saying like because I have this new one.
Yeah,
there's hope for anything that had
had
3 games before it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And then I watched Evil Dead Burn.
So did I. I didn't watch anything. That was the only thing I watched.
That was the only thing I watched.
What do you think of this?
I think it's not good.
No,
but it was fun.
It seems like people like
it's doing the most fun.
Generally, like it.
I know, which is so interesting to me.
Yeah,
but I think people just like Evil Dead, and I think what helps is that they don't have high expectations with Evil Dead.
I think because they're all kind of like these one-off stories, you're kind of starting from scratch.
Yeah, which I think is fine.
But like as it was going on, I'm like, if they didn't have the Evil Dead like name. I don't think this would really work.
They don't say Deadeye. They don't even say Necronomicon.
No, yeah, it's not.
It's just evil book, and then people are turning into like demon zombie things.
Yeah, you know? that's what they are.
Yeah.
But the dude didn't go through his grandpa's like stuff enough to, you know, find out all this information, I guess.
Yeah. I want to see the book's face at least. Did we see the book in the last one? We did, right?
No, because it was like someone was reading it on like a record.
Oh, and then like played the record backwards.
was he playing it backwards?
I think something happened and he played the record backwards and it started the shit. Maybe I'm making that up, but I still had fun in theater. This is the most fun I've had in theaters for the last couple times I've went.
It's like hilarious.
It honestly is.
Evil Dead kind of always has like a little bit of comedy to it.
Yeah.
And this one was, it was just kind of odd.
It leans more into it.
Oddly placed because it is pretty mean spirited, you know, but they also have this, these like Looney Tune ass like fight scenes and stuff.
They do. Yeah. It seems like it doesn't commit to one or the other. Like, I don't think they did the balance very well, because there will be like a really cool fight scene that'll be happening.
Yeah.
So it's like the action's kind of cool, but it's not scary. Or it'll be like something kind of freaky is going on, and then the grandma makes like a racist joke.
Yeah, it's not a very scary movie. There's like one jump scare, you know?
Yeah, I would say that.
Which got me, but.
It, yeah. Yeah.
But I don't like, there's not really jump scares in Evil Dead normally, it feels like.
Yeah, I feel like.
It's just kind of like in scary stuff happening, which this, I prefer sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's, well, it's a certified Trade Weirders bad movie,
mm-hmm.
which is unfortunate. And as soon as I saw a dog, I'm like, this is going to just, that dog's going to die.
And it's like being annoying. I'm like, ah, yeah, fuck.
It's like, it's barking. I'm like,
fuck. Like, don't do it. Just run away.
The way that they did it makes it maybe the worst movie we've ever seen.
It's fucking brutal.
It sucks so bad.
It was very clearly fake. You know, I don't know if they did it on purpose, but like, we said on an episode, like you were reading like The Hab or something and a dog dies and is resurrected.
Yeah.
Same thing happens. We get a dogite.
We do get a dogite, but the dogite dies.
Yeah, they all die eventually.
Right. So it's still the dog. But I think it was just such a cheap shot as far as like, let's make this guy a bad guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was pretty clearly going to be
an evil dude.
He's been kind of a dick the whole movie. And then he ends up being like the first deadite. So I'm like.
So did he turn into a deadite because he got his hand burned and it just like happened slower? Is that
because
what
he got his hand burned?
Remember, he was like saying bye to his son, and then the son like comes out and he touches his wrist and he gets burned.
I thought like,
and maybe that was
after
like
after his son came out of the coffin or whatever and attacked the dude that worked there. I just kind of assumed that he came back and attacked his dad or something, but it doesn't look like he got attacked. So I guess so.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a slow transition.
Does it normally work like zombies?
Basically, yeah.
And can you get it if you make out with a deadite?
Yeah, it's kind of like a disease kind of thing. Like, it can be, like, contracted.
Like a fluid, like AIDS.
Yeah, honestly, going into all of these, I don't really, like, have the checklist of the rules in my head.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
Because they add stuff.
I just learned that you could, like, make out with one and turn into a deadite, and I think that's kind of cool.
Pretty gross. Like, some of the lore that they add is that there's, like, a knife that can just kill them.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Turn him back. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
I love the way that they introduced it because there's a big bag of knives. And it's like, why do you have a big bag of knives? And why do they all look so...
Like, is it this one?
Why are they all so visually distinct? Yeah, there's literally a scene where they're like going down the line of knives. And it's not the one that looks the coolest.
No, it's like some shitty knife that looks like it's used to carve wood or something.
Yeah, it just has a symbol on it. But I thought... Because one of the main characters is given like a pen in the beginning. And it's like $1,000 or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, is the pen supposed to be the cool thing? And I'm like, maybe they'll connect it to where like the grandpa carved a thing into it and it's like special now. But they didn't even do that. It's just a pen that he used
once.
That'd
be something interesting if it like was passed down to the brother that gave it to him.
That's
but I'm he didn't like, understand like the
And you know what, Daniel, it makes more sense to do that because the grandpa was fucking writing shit down in a book. And the grandson was supposed to be writing some fucking book.
He was like kind of blowing it off as like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, I know it's $1,000, but I didn't pay that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But that, you know, that's a connection that he could have made, and it could have come back, and then that could have been the thing. But
it wouldn't have made it that much better of a movie. But
no, I wouldn't have. But it would have been something that was like, okay,
yeah, things that come back around or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's not good, but I had a good time watching it. It's a good bad at the very least for me.
Yeah, I gave it 3.5. You know, because I was like, I like this.
That's generous.
Yeah, this is a good movie, I think. There's like,
you think it's a good movie?
I think it's a good movie. Like,
really?
Like, I look back on it, I'm like, I had fun with that. There's like good, like, filmmaking.
Yeah.
You know, there's cool shots.
A horror action and kind of a comedy movie, it does snippets of those things very well.
Yeah.
At different points.
Like, I'll be thinking about some of the shots. I'm like, how the fuck do they do that? You know?
Yeah.
For
Because sometimes they're like crawling up on the wall and like dragging people up with them, or sometimes
it was like a shot that was through. It was either looking at a mirror or it was like in the mirror.
That was cool.
Because then, like, when like a head was smashed into the mirror, it like started following that.
Yeah.
And like, what the? It was like, that's cool.
I do remember saying out loud, oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
Or there's like a big sweeping shot of like a big action scene that's all one take. And I'm like, everybody knows how to make a movie here,
yeah,
clearly. But for some reason, this didn't connect as, you know, one coherent one.
Did you notice Bruce Campbell was in this?
What?
So when the girl, like a voice? When like all chaos is breaking loose on the lower floor, the grandma's like going up the stairs on her little like chair thing.
Uh-huh.
There's a picture of Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. I missed that.
I was like,
did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's fun. It was like the biggest picture, and it was the only one you could really see what it was, you know?
Is he like part of that family?
No, he's probably just a friend of the grandpa kind of thing.
Okay, got it.
I assume that he's a part of like this group of men who are like figuring this shit out, you know?
Yeah.
Which seems cool.
Do you think he'll ever be Ash again? Even if it's like him and he's old and...
I think so. It kind of depends if he gets better, you know?
Is he not good right now?
He's got cancer.
It's not good.
Which blows. So, yeah.
Oh,
so,
I do remember seeing that, actually.
So, if he like gets better, like maybe there's room for that.
Yeah.
Because it feels like these are just kind of borrowing what they want and then still kind of doing their own kind of horror movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know this had post-credit scenes?
Scenes.
I had two post-credit scenes.
What did I miss?
So, one of them was the grandma crawling on the street.
I knew it.
Everyone knew it.
Yeah, everyone knew it. That wasn't a smart thing that I came up with.
Yeah, she cut off her other leg and then...
She did?
Yeah, to get away from the like the seat that she was strapped to. Oh, yeah,
because she had a prosthetic already.
Yeah. And then the post-credit scene... It was like people at the morgue and they're like going through cleaning off urns or whatever. And one of them has a girl's name on it. And she like looks up in the mirror and it's like the mom from the last one.
Mm.
And she like freaks out and like just drops the urn or whatever. And then when she goes back up, like she's there, like in the flesh, and I assume kill her or whatever.
Whoa.
So they're trying to like,
a Legion
them.
Of Doom.
Dude.
An Evil Dead Legion of Doom. And they get the fire guy. That
yeah.
wasn't that cool of a
nah,
finale villain.
Yeah. Maybe bring back like the girlfriend or something. Or the dad. I thought the dad was a good Deadite.
Yeah. Bill Burr did a good job in this.
Yeah, dude. I love...
I actually do think that that guy fucking crushed this role.
Totally. Totally. He reminded me of Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah. Especially in the beginning.
Totally. Yeah. He's just kind of grumpy and growling at people or whatever. Yeah.
Judgmental. And
totally.
And then when he was a Deadite, he was really good at being like creepy and making good faces.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was, I hope he gets more.
Yeah, totally. I overall, there's a lot of good parts in this, and yeah, it's like not perfectly put together and there's like some weird choices, but
there's something
the
I love about
not
that.
Very good either, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that there's Evil Dead stuff coming out.
Yeah, I do too.
There's not like a ton of like franchise horror stuff that works.
Yeah, it seems like this one probably won't make that much money, but it seems like they've always done enough to just, maybe we should do another one.
Yeah, I think they're still just trying to stay in the realm of like low budget horror stuff. And maybe it's like ambiguous enough to where people, and they're like kind of one shot movies.
Mm-hmm.
So like new people can go see them.
Yeah.
I feel like a majority of people that went to see this probably haven't seen all the rest of them, you know?
No, because we went with Sophie's sister, Carla, and yeah, she thought that the original one was like the 2011 one.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I guess for this kind of era.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No. And I'm like, no, there's like a guy, he like cuts his hand off.
You heard of Army of Darkness?
I've never even seen it. I just know everything about it.
You don't know about the boomstick?
You haven't read the fucking Army of Darkness comic book? Army of Darkness Forever?
Yeah. So.
Fun movie, though.
That's cool. What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
Nothing.
Nothing? No show next week?
Yeah, no show next
week.
We're
skipping it?
No, I don't know. What do we got?
Yeah, it's open. Is there something you want to read? Or
there's always something I want to read.
Yeah.
But we should spread some sheets, perhaps.
Spread some sheets?
Do a random one with the spreadsheet.
You know, we could do that. But there's something that I've been just feel like I've been recommended a lot that I like haven't heard of that I think we should do.
Okay.
Have you heard of the DC Black Label book called Boy Wonder?
Yeah.
It's like Robin or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Junie Ba.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about it?
Or? I think it's nominated for an Eisner this year.
I don't think it is, but I thought, I think I remember looking for an Eisner nom, but I guess it could be this year.
Might have been last year. I'm pretty sure it's this year though.
But would you want to do that?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it is. And I hear nothing but good things. So
yeah, let's do it. I'm down.
Sweet. Sounds good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe, email in at traverspot@gmail.com.
What's your favorite Spider-Man?
Tell us what your favorite Spider-Man is. Do you like Superior Spider-Man?
Yeah.
What team are you on, you know?
Your team Otto?
Yeah.
Should we bring him back?
Superior hater or superior lover? Let us know. And goodbye.
And goodbye.